Welcome, everyone, to FDA's New Era Tech Talk, a quarterly podcast series that explores the potential for new and emerging technologies and approaches to bend the curve of foodborne illness in FDA's new era of smarter food safety. I'm Frank Yannis, Deputy Commissioner of FDA's Office of Food Policy Response, and our fourth Tech Talk podcast is entitled Data Exchange in the New Era of Smarter Food Safety. Today, we're going to focus on efforts underway at FDA to streamline and enhance data sharing between the FDA and our regulatory partners at state and local level. In other words, public-to-public data sharing. We plan to give you some real-world examples of how it's been working. Specifically, we're going to explore a platform created by FDA's Office of Regulatory Affairs, also known as ORA, to securely share information between the agency and its regulatory partners. Now, to begin with, let me just share that throughout my tenure as Deputy Commissioner, I've said that during the 21st century, better food safety begins and ends with better data. I can't emphasize that point enough. But for the benefits to be fully realized, data must be shared. It can't be trapped in a silo. Data has to be digitized, so it can be more easily converted into prevention-based information. Data on a piece of paper is a dead end. And lastly, in a large and decentralized food system, data has to be shared with others. And so we're going to hear how we're working to democratize data with regulatory partners so that we all get smarter together. It's one of the core elements of FDA's new era of smarter food safety. Now, for those in industry as well as regulators, data exchange, we all understand, helps to better protect industry trade secrets and other non-public information, increase detection capabilities and methodologies that can be shared with private and industry laboratories. An exchange of data encourages proactive sharing and leveraging of industry expertise through food safety and inspectional outreach and education. And this, believe it or not, our fourth podcast, I've asked Barbara Kastens, Director of FDA's ORA Office of Partnerships, and Amari Fennell, FDA's ORA Data Exchange Outreach Coordinator, to help lead a discussion with experts in the state government offices across our country and public health regulations and subjects that you're going to hear today. They'll include how FDA, state, and local regulators are using this data exchange to advance public health, including compliance measures and outbreak response. It'll include the technology that's involved in increasing the efficiency of electronic data exchange. You're going to hear how the industry benefits from what we're doing, and you're going to also hear what's on the horizon in FDA's new era of smarter food safety. Up front, I want to thank our guests for joining us today in this important discussion. And before turning it over to them, I'd like to set the stage by first asking Barbara and Amari to briefly tell us about the ORI Data Exchange. So Barbara, can you kick things off by telling what prompted the agency to establish the ORI Data Exchange program? What was the problem, specifically the public health problem or challenge we were trying to address? And how does what we're doing fit with other FDA data modernization efforts?
Well, thanks, Frank, for inviting me to this, and I really appreciate it. I'm happy to do that. And first of all, for our group here, I want you to know the data exchange in ORA did not happen overnight, okay? Back in 1998, the FDA began supporting a series of workshops open to officials from all our 50 states, our five U.S. territories, and the District of Columbia. And the purpose was to implement recommendations from that shop where they told us what they wanted to do. The Partnership for Food Protection, or better known as the PFP, was established and is comprised of a group of dedicated professionals from federal, state, and local governments with roles in protecting the food safety and public health. The PFP utilizes a workgroup structure, including information technology workgroup, that promotes data sharing requirements in IT environments like ORA Data Exchange. So that's how it sort of came to be. But what I like to focus on, let's talk about the why. So our nation's food supply is global. Keeping food ingredients and the finished product safe from source to table depends on a nationally integrated food safety system to prevent food contamination, illnesses, and outbreaks. What the ORA Data Exchange lets FDA and the state regulatory partners do is to securely share information, including things like inventory, sample and sample results, and inspectional information. That information is critical to achieving our goal of one integrated workforce. Let me just repeat that again, one integrated workforce. That's whereby state and federal food regulators, laboratorians, epidemiology specialists, and all partners work together to keep food safe at each step from source to consumer and implement timely control measures when there's illnesses, outbreaks, and or contaminations detected, so we can address emerging issues as well that pose new foodborne illness hazards. And we really believe that the data exchange is one way the FDA is advancing efforts to build a more robust, data-driven, technology-able, and modernized food safety oversight system to ensure a safe food supply across the country. So Frank, you also asked me, how does it fit with other FDA data modernization acts? Well, it does very well. And the ORA data exchange plays a central role in the exchange of information between states and FDA and supports multiple strategic initiatives and goals, including the Food Safety Modernization Act, the National Integrated Food Safety System, domestic mutual reliance, yours truly, the new era of smarter food safety, and as last, as I mentioned before, the Partnership for Food Protection, or better known as the PFP. So the ORA Data Exchange Program is an initiative of the PFP, Information Technology Workgroup, that supports the goals and vision of a national integrated food safety system as mandated by FSMA. And since then, the ORA Data Exchange has continued to thrive because of the wonderful support from our state regulatory partners, regulatory associations, the data exchange team themselves, and stakeholders. And we'll hear from some of those partners in a little bit.
Thanks, Barb. That's fantastic. And I couldn't agree more with your opening comments and how important it is for us to get this right. Omari, turning to you in a nutshell, we'd love to hear your take on what is the ORA data exchange, your explanation of it, and what ways can states participate? And really importantly, how extensive is the level of participation today? Are we just scratching the surface, or are we already getting traction?
Thanks, Frank. I would love to share. To build upon what Barbara said, the ORA data exchange enables secure, unified, and bidirectional data sharing between FDA and regulatory partners. It improves data sharing efficiency, collaboration, and reduces dual data entry. Another great thing about the data exchange is it increases data standardization, which enables interoperability. You can think of the ORA data exchange as an umbrella for the two main IT solutions. The first is the ORA Partners Portal, also known as ORAP, and the second one is System-to-System Services. ORAP is basically a website where people can go and log in and access certain data sharing capabilities. On the other hand, System-to-System Services is a system interface which enables electronic data exchange via web services. So it allows for regulatory partner systems and FDA systems to communicate. For those that have been around for a while, you may refer to the ORA data exchange system-to-system services as NFSDX, or the National Food Safety Data Exchange. Now, these systems were created so that inventory, inspection, and sample data sharing can be shared more efficiently. The main difference between ORAP and system-to-system services is ORAP has a user interface, and it doesn't require any development by regulatory partners to use. For system-to-system services, it does require development, and it doesn't have a user interface. But once the integration is in place, state users, regulatory partners, are able to use the system-to-system capabilities to send and receive information directly from their state system. And so, for example, those that are submitting contracted inspection information via system-to-system services, they're able to input that information into their system and then send it directly to FDA. Now, there is one other component I would like to mention. It's the Enhanced Data Exchange client, and that is used for sample data sharing. Frank, you had also asked about participation. Since 2018, the ORA Data Exchange has been operational. We have been continuing to bring new partners on board. Today, we have about 70 state agencies that are participating in the ORA Data Exchange. Now, that may sound like a large number, but there's still a lot more growth, and there's still more partners that haven't participated yet in the data exchange. So we're continuing to communicate about the different capabilities that are available. The last thing I'll say is I want to echo what Barbara mentioned. We wouldn't be here today without all the wonderful support that we have received. So thank you for all those that have been involved in the data exchange that are listening.
Thanks, Amari. That's perfect. And it lays a really great foundation for what we're going to discuss today. And so I'm going to ask the two of you to lead this. And as always, at the end, I'll return to share some takeaways from today's conversation. I'll be listening in intently. So Barb and Amari, let's get this discussion started. Over to you.
Got it, Frank. I'll start out first. And I just want to say I am very pleased to introduce three people who have played a key role in the development, use, and promotion of the data exchange for ORA. And first we have Jennifer Pierocchi, and she is the SAFER Deputy Director with AFCO. And those of you who know AFCO, it's the Association of Food and Drug Officials, promoting public health, fostering uniformity, and establishing partnerships. Then we have two state officials joining us today. We have Philip Frushing. He is with the Arkansas Department of Health, and he is responsible for conducting regulatory inspections using electronic systems. So he has a great deal of experience here to share. Philip also serves as the state co-chair of the Partnership for Food Protection IT Work Group, which I appreciate very much, Philip. And lastly, but not least, we have Kristen Lozenak, and she's with Maryland Department of Health, where she supervises all food microbiological testing conducted at the Maryland Health Laboratories Administration. Glad to have my colleagues here, my dear colleagues. I welcome you all. And so let me kick off with my first line of questions here. So Jennifer, we're going to start with you. AFCO has been a very invaluable partner, playing a major role in helping states come on board and providing IT assistance to states using USA Food Safety, which is a web-based state inspection system and repository. First, what was it about the data exchange that made you and AFCO take this on as such a high priority? And then secondly, if you can comment on, how do you describe AFCO's role? Would appreciate that.
Thanks, Barbara. Greetings to everybody listening and to the rest of the panel. First thing I'll say is that AFCO really views data as a critical resource to helping states inform and shape decisions that are a high priority for helping to improve public health. And that being said, the data exchange is the technological future for food safety regulation. FDA and the state partners, they need to be looking for modern solutions to be able to work better together. And we believe at AFCO that the data exchange is a perfect example of how leveraging technology saves time, money, and hopefully protects the public from adulterated food. Additionally, FDA, has put the data exchange front and center to the state by adding this initiative to the human food contract, the standards programs, domestic mutual reliance agreements, and AFCO's members utilize all these various cooperative agreements and contracts, and thus we feel our need to support the state members in this endeavor to participate in data exchange. And also, just to hit some historical perspective on AFCO's role here, over the last 3 years, we've been overseeing a cooperative agreement, generously funded by FDA, that supports the operation and maintenance of two web-based inspectional systems, USA Food Safety and USA Plant. The difference between these two systems really is the state program users, USA Food Safety is a predominantly human food program, so we're talking retail food, manufactured food, produce, et cetera, along with other environmental health programs. And USA Plants is an animal food program along with a variety of other agricultural programs. So all in all, if I'm talking about these two systems, we're supporting somewhere around 27 different state regulatory programs. The data exchange is an ongoing effort within USA Food Safety. So we have 12 states participating in USA Food Safety, and 10 of those states are actually using the data exchange. And we're specifically talking about the manufactured food program here. Those two states that aren't using the data exchange, that is because they don't have a contract with FDA for the human food contract, and that's why. What Mari has already highlighted this, but I'll re-emphasize here that the data exchange prevents duplicative data entry, and that's why the states are really excited to use it. They're going into USA Food Safety, they're entering in all their contract information, and that is being sent over automatically with the click of a button to FDA, and that includes attachments and a variety of other things. And so what we've been doing is playing that product role owner, as Barbara's probably highlighted, and we're really supporting the development of the data exchange in USA Food Safety, playing the liaison between FDA, the states, and the vendor that is supporting this effort to ensure what is being developed meets the needs. And to further, we also hold user group meetings for the state participants, for their state liaisons, for the vendor, for other FDA folks on Omari's team, really to discuss enhancements and how to use the functionality of the data exchange within USA Food Safety.
That's excellent information, Jennifer. I even learned a few things in that discussion that I didn't know. I'm sorry, I got one more question for you right now. I've heard you say in other settings that one of the biggest issues for a state is the need to be able to provide their constituents verifiable proof on return on investment. And I appreciate that a lot because that's what we do in office partnerships. And that the states need to be able to confidently say that the ORA data exchange is easy to use and improves efficiency, and that the data being shared with FDA is protected. So is the evidence in to allow states to make this case? Do we know yet? What do you think? Give us a little idea about that.
So, you know, this is a question that I've given a lot of thought to, you know, for a while as you've been preparing for this podcast. And so let me frame it this way. The data exchange is informed by many different entities within FDA as well as outside of the FDA, specifically talking about states. And so when you talk about a technology project, you have two entities. You have the business side, which is informing, you know, what is the problem. They're trying to figure out a problem they're trying to solve, and they have to put forth requirements and the ideas about how to solve that problem. And the technology folks are listening to that problem, and they're listening to the requirements, and then they're figuring out how can technology actually solve the problem. So you have two really important stakeholders, the business and the technology. And the business side is made up of multiple stakeholders, as I'm highlighting here, FDA and the state. And so right now, the data exchange, when we look across our users in USA Food Safety, I can tell you that the state of Illinois right now has gotten a lot of ROI out of the data exchange. They've definitely seen the return on investment with the current functionality. And that's great. And that's exactly what we want to see. But there are other states that are not there yet, because their work within, we'll say, the human food contract is more complex and potentially is more rigorous than their counterparts in Illinois. And that's just a difference in process and procedure and how we do the work. It's about the business. So how the contract is done across the divisions is about the business and about that process, and that does differ. And that creates some complexity when we go in and we try to build to the technology to meet that problem. And so we are close, you're really seeing the full return on investment within the data exchange, but we're not quite there yet because we're still working through getting all of those requirements met. And that's the business part feeding in that information. And there's, again, I'll highlight the fact that there's a lot of business partners in this conversation. So as we become more in tuned and more lockstep in talking about data exchange and the requirements that are needed between FDA and the state and better informing our technology, you know, our solution drivers, our vendors, we will have the ultimate solution and we will be able to deliver on the desired outcomes with the data exchange.
Great information, Jennifer. Thank you so much. I'm going to kick it over to Amari because I know you've been working so closely with the individual states. So I'd like to ask you to take the next set of questions.
My pleasure, Barbara. So I've been involved in the data exchange for about 5 years. And I know when I started working in the program, Philip was already involved in the PFP IT work group and also in working sessions related to the data exchange. Philip, Arkansas has been participating in the ORA data exchange inventory and inspection capabilities since 2019. So I wanna ask, can you start by telling us broadly about your expectations going in and your experience to date?
Sure, thanks Amari. Hi everyone. Just a little bit of history. In 2005, I started my regulatory career. The city I worked for was implementing an electronic inspection system, which I used for 3 years. So I was familiar with what an electronic system was capable of, and I knew what worked and what didn't. So in 2011, I started working for the Arkansas Department of Health. Our food program conducted food contract inspections, but we didn't have a state inspection program for manufactured food. And we just had very basic equipment for staff. We had a flip phone, clipboard, pen, paper, state roadmaps, and a generated list from a spreadsheet with a list of firms that may or may not have the correct address or phone number. I do remember having to look up and print off directions from one of the web browsers for the maps. When the inspection was over, I still had to come back to the office or write up the inspection report and put it into what's called the ESAP. So at that time, we printed those reports and we signed them, and then we had to send them to the district office in Dallas. At that time, maintaining an inventory for our food program wasn't a priority. We were relying on the FDA to provide the most current firm information the way we'd always, and because this was the way we'd always done that. I remember one firm just had street names, you know, Pine and Main. So even though the FDA might have had to name it as sort of an address, there wasn't an indication of what it could be, whether it's a plant, a warehouse, or a farm. So these are just some of the examples of when this way of conducting business was very inefficient, and I knew there were a lot of improvements that could be made on both the state side and the FDA side. So we made changes to our program. We enrolled in the Manufactured Foods Regulatory Program Standards, and as part of our work with that in 2015, we were able to use an electronic inspection firm system. We went with what was called the USA Food Safety. And some of the reasonings for using this was so we can conduct inspections and send those inspections to FDA electronically and possibly have the ability to share and exchange inventory. So as our program used it, we just added some of those support enhancements as we grew. I would have the vendor develop and add the system to our particular system. And I remember in 2017, we started putting together what's called the NSFDX to our system, which we didn't start using until 2018. And so as the years progressed, since the systems have changed over time and capabilities have been added, so we have the ability to get that information to FDA sooner and get information from them sooner.
Thank you so much, Philip, for sharing. Would you also share what were the challenges you faced in being able to participate in the ORA data exchange? And if you have any lessons learned, feel free to share those too.
Yeah, there were challenges. Most of them were, you know, maybe on our side of things. There's a lot of documentation that if a state's going to participate that need to be reviewed and approved by your management, whether it be upper management, legal, or departmental management. So this could be your 2088 agreement, your memorandum of understanding, or an interconnection security agreement. It takes a while to get all the documentation reviewed, approved, and back. Then once you get it back, then you have to send it on to FDA. And don't be surprised if FDA's changed management or something, and they have to have everything re-signed and sent back to you. So if a program is thinking about participating, just realize it can be a long process to get all the documentation going through whatever channel it is for your agency.
Thank you so much, Philip, for sharing that insight. And we have a PFP IT workgroup newsletter, which is published on a quarterly basis. And it has great content about the ORA data exchange and other information. And one of the additions, there was a quote that said, an egg in the nest doesn't become a bird overnight. So really with the data exchange, we are continuing to grow. And with every new partner, enhancement, release, the ORA data exchange, it's continuing to improve. We started off with about 3 states that were on board, and now we have mostly every state who is participating in at least one of the ORA data exchange capabilities. So I know for my team, the ORA data exchange team, we look forward to continuing to work with regulatory partners and state labs in order to see the ORA data exchange soar and really achieve its fullest potential. With that said, I want to switch and talk to Kristen a little bit. Now, Kristen, Maryland was the first lab to come on board for system-to-system services. And so now you're able, from your LIMS, to send sample collection, sample receipt, and sample analysis data to FDA. Question for you. What has it meant to your lab in Maryland to be able to seamlessly submit lab flexible funding model and other sample data to FDA?
Hi, thanks, Omari. For us in Maryland, we see our system-to-system capability as an investment in our future. Right now, this is partly because we're still required to report all of our LFFM testing quarterly to the FDA via manual spreadsheets. In addition, we're also still required to report all of our violative samples immediately via email. But we did see a glimpse of the future during the recent Chronobacter infant formula outbreak. During this outbreak, we were tapped to become a Tier 1 testing laboratory. And during this event, our microbiological food lab tested over 80 samples that were collected by a variety of collectors, such as the FDA, our state regulatory partners, and our lab sanitarians. So for all 80 of these samples, we are able to transmit the data in real time to the FDA via our system-to-system capability.
Thanks, Kristen, for sharing that perspective. Also, how hard was it to move from a manual process to a system-to-system process? And what would you say are the biggest changes for Maryland?
So the hardest part for us has been figuring out how to make the scientists oversee the system performance. So FDA did provide a schema that outlined the XML message formats and the different mapping tables. And so once our LIMS people were able to program these into our system, the question was how to make the scientists chaperone the system. This is because it runs in the background. So we had to manually add different dashboards, alert messages, and error correction, and different resend features for the scientists to use. So there was no guidance on these points because we were the first one, so no one had gotten that far.
Great, great. Yes, and I remember Maryland moved very quickly with the system-to-system services implementation and getting things up and running. So that is a great accomplishment. And I want to also ask, how has the system-to-system services increased efficiencies and improved the speed and accuracy of sample analysis-related processes or other processes? You can provide any examples that you have.
So the big key for us has been that because our sample collectors enter all of the data electronically, which had been done manually before, this dramatically reduces errors and then frees up all of our lab scientists to do what they do best, which is run the tests. So this allowed us to work much more closely with all of our our lab submitters across the state, and this then strengthened all those relationships. So as a result, we held our first in-person training session on our STAR LIMS and our NFSDX communications in December of 2021. And we had all of our collectors here in person at the laboratory. A lot of these sanitarians have been submitting samples for many, many years, and they had never seen the inside of the lab in person, or a lot of them also had never met any of the scientists. So that was a wonderful result.
Listen, that's awesome news and great discussion, folks. I'm kind of thinking, Omari, for our last round, I'd like to focus on what the horizon for the data exchange, sharing, and efforts overall in ORADX. What are the regulatory capacities for continuing to be added to it? And, you know, just where we're going to improve the user experience. I know there are even ongoing efforts to make data sharing from FDA to states less stringent and more mutually beneficial. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to discuss how this tool is expanding partnerships at all levels and its role in your view of how it continues to support one integrated workforce. So I'm going to be asking each of you to kind of get your crystal ball out, look into your crystal ball, and tell us, you know, how the widespread do you see the participation in the future of ORA data exchange, like in 5 years or so, and what changes do you anticipate? And Jennifer, I'm going to start with you again.
Awesome. Thanks, Barbara. I love the crystal ball. I'm getting it out right now. This is what it's telling me to share. So I'm excited to talk to everybody about our newly funded FDA cooperative agreement in AFTO that we received in August. And it was entitled Building an Integrated Information Technology Infrastructure for State Regulatory Programs. AFTO, we call this effort SAFER, or the System for Agriculture, Food, Health, E-Inspections, and Registration, S-A-S-H-E-R. SAFER right now is in the final stages of vendor selection, and we will begin in earnest of development of the platform in 2023. And so an important part of our early development will be the integration of the ORA data exchange for human and animal food inspection data. And we believe in 5 years, we're going to have twice as many states sharing data with FDA, contract data, and probably beyond, actually. And we're also going to be adding data analytical tools that are going to allow inspectional data to be trend in real time, to identify emerging issues, quickly implement control measures, and create a space for consumers to find actionable information on recalls and other food incidences. However, the biggest ticket item for states is going to be the full realization of those business requirements I was talking about earlier, of that two-way data exchange with the FDA inspectional information. So what I'm talking about here is states want to be able to pull in information, you know, put in by FDA, like inspectional dates to update their inspection frequencies, complaint information, investigational findings, and as well as other things that are currently in FDA systems, so we, the states, can take action quicker to prevent illness. Additionally, the inspectional forms such as LACF, acidified, juice, we want to see those come over into the data exchange so we can send that information to FDA as well, and we can do away with sending in paper inspections and PDFs. So we're really looking forward to a fully automated and seamless two-way exchange of FDA data and with state data. And that's the dream. And that's what the crystal ball is showing me, Barbara.
Loving it. Wow. No paper. Thank you, Jennifer. So I'm going to next go to you and ask you the question of what changes do you anticipate and would like to see from the future? What does your crystal ball say?
Hey, thanks, Barbara. Well, I'd like to think that a lot of state programs that are doing contract work, whether it be for food, feed, or egg, or produce, or enrolled in the various program standards, would participate in the data exchange. That's just going to depend on how well or how dedicated FDA will be to design, build, and implement a system that works for both states and FDA. It just needs to be a fully functional two-way exchange and easy to use. And I realize, you know, as being a participant in the data exchange for a long time, that, you know, things are still issues that we're working on and developing and improving. And so it just takes time to do that. I think a system that could have questions and forms built in for auditing in-person staff would be great. I'd like to see a system with a Dropbox type feature where states and FDA could share documents, not only contract documents on firms, but other types as well, cooperative agreements, reports, trainings, and those types of things. Also make it easier for a user to log into systems maintained by FDA. Right now I have several IDs for, you know, what's ESAP or FERLS or the data exchange and training system. I think it should be like a one login to get to all those systems if it's available. If a state program is participating in one of the various program standards, if the program has all the documentation for the data exchange and security, we should be able to see all those reports that the DIS staff has compiled so we can compare and see those reportings as well. So those are just some things that I've thought about. We just have to keep in mind that technology changes so fast and so quickly that whatever we plan may or may not be working in 2 years. So we just have to stay on top of the changes as they go through.
Great vision there, Philip. Thank you. And you're right. You know, technology is changing rapidly. And that's something that I always talk to myself about. Let's lean forward. Let's lean forward. Let's think where we're going to be in the future. So I'm glad you brought that up. And now, Kristen, I'd like to go to you just to talk from a laboratory perspective. How widespread do you think participation in ORADX will be in 5 years?
We feel that this system is the wave of the future, essentially, and that after a few challenges have been resolved, I think that most, if not all, the states are going to be using the system communication constantly. For us in Maryland, the last barrier is reducing the amount of FDA-specific information that the states have to find and provide, but we feel that FDA is listening to us and that we expect relief soon. And then after that point, I feel that it's going to be all downhill for us and others.
Thank you so much, everyone, for your feedback on this question. Very great discussion. And based on the responses, it seems like the future of the ORA data exchange is bright as we continue to make the enhancements and make it possible for there to be more data sharing in the future. Now, before we bring Frank back, we did request comments and questions prior to this podcast, and so I just want to bring up two that we received. The first comment we received stated, "We are witnessing a situation where the technology exists to accomplish regulators' goals, but the industry is not being pushed in that direction. Will we see the food industry move in a similar direction and use modern technology to meet upcoming regulations?" Barbara, would you be able to respond to that?
Well, Amari, I've got to get my crystal ball out now, but let me give it a shot here. You know, I think in my mind what we have is motivation and possibility. And, you know, we could drive the requirements through regulations with the industry. That's a long time frame. And is that really the approach to take? Or can we really, as the state regulators and federal regulators, demonstrate the value of information sharing, what it brings to the table, data disclosure, and encourage industry to join us on this, I guess I'll call it this journey, and do the same. And I think we'll continue to work with industry to ensure that the food supply in the United States is safe for the consumers, bottom line.
Thank you, Barbara. Another comment we received is about the inspection contract statement of work. Someone commented that language found in the inspection contract statement of work declares that all information collected under this contract shall be considered confidential commercial information. Is this consistent with the CFR definitions? So Barbara, again, this is a question for you.
Thanks, Amari. You know, yes, contemplated that a bit. And I truly believe that our interpretation in the contract is consistent with the Code of Federal Regulations, or the better known as the CFR. And this also applies to inspection reports. When we receive requests for inspection reports or other information through the Freedom of Information Act, our responses are carefully reviewed by very trained, dedicated employees, and they're redacted appropriately. So the inspection reports may include information about equipment design, processing procedures and steps, distribution records, et cetera. It can be many things. So you have to have skilled people that know what they're looking at and what needs to be redacted according to the regulations. I appreciate the questions. I'm sure we welcome more questions in the future. And I'd like to thank those who submitted the questions in advance and welcome Frank back to hear his reflections on our discussion today.
Well, thanks, Barb. Thanks, Amari. And thanks to all the participants. I thought today's discussion was fantastic. And more importantly, the discussion is thanks for the direction in which you're leading and taking us all. I thought the discussion today was very persuasive on the case for, the need for, and more importantly, the value in enhanced data sharing between FDA and state regulators. You certainly have convinced me. And while I was very interested in our focus on data sharing between federal and state regulators, I think everyone listening today understands how important it is for a strong food safety net in the United States, both FDA and federal agencies working with states. I personally thought there were some principles that go further. So let me share just three of the takeaways that I literally jotted down here. Number one is that better food safety data sharing can't wait. I was persuaded that better food safety data sharing can't wait and that we just need to get started now. That's what I heard. Again, we gave an example of what it means to state regulators, but I encourage all listeners, everyone listening today, to think about what you heard and what you can do within your sphere of influence to begin data sharing with key stakeholders and partners right now. We're living in the 21st century, the data age. The longer you wait, the more behind you'll become, the more irrelevant and ineffective you'll become. So get started with data sharing now. Number two, I think you've made a pretty persuasive case that it's okay to start small, test, learn, and scale. I heard comments that, you know, technology is changing very quickly. I've been working on trying to digitize food safety processes and better exchange data for now a few decades, I hate to admit. And, you know, the model of trying to fully identify all of the system requirements, building that perfect system is really outdated. I would just encourage listeners to select a proof of concept or a public health challenge that you're trying to address or solve through data sharing. Get started right now, test it, learn from what works and what doesn't work, and then continue to scale. That old outdated model of trying to get everything right in advance is very difficult, and we need to be a little bit more agile in the way we're working, and it sounds like we're doing just that. And then lastly, third, one of the takeaways I have is that data sharing is a team sport. I want to thank the state partners that have participated today by demonstrating this wonderful example that it involves teamwork. Listen, our food system is just too big and decentralized. We all know that for any one federal agency, any one state Department of Health or State Department of Ag, or any large private food producer to have all the information needed. So we have to realize in this large and decentralized food system that the only way, it's literally the only way to advance food safety, is for all of us, public to public, private to private, and even private to public, to get better at sharing data, democratizing information, converting that data into information, and democratizing it within the food system so that we all can get smarter and faster together. So in closing, I want to thank all of our speakers for sharing their time, expertise, and more importantly, their experience with us today. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening, your commitment to continuous learning, and your desire to join us in creating a safer, smarter food system together. And lastly, if you haven't already subscribed, I encourage you to do just that. Subscribe to FDA's Tech Talk podcast series. Please do so now. Pass it along. And so with that, we'll bring today's Tech Talk discussion to a close. Until next time, thanks for listening and be safe.